Hi, friends. Welcome to the Neighboring Well podcast, where we explore what it means to connect with the people around you and how to get better at finding and cultivating meaningful friendships. So good to be with you today. My name's Kaylee.
And I'm Tiffany.
So today we're going to be kind of going into a couple different things. Really kind of wanted it to be more of just an interesting conversation. Mom and I have been talking about how with summer coming up and, you know, the weather getting warmer, we're going to be outside and it's going to be more like casual things that we're meeting up with people. Some people like to do Memorial Day barbecues. Some people like to just sit in the backyard and talk. You know, there's kind of a lot of different things that are a lot more casual. And so we kind of wanted to talk about some traditions in like mixed into that and kind of just a fun mindset. So
yeah, it's kind of also that time of year of graduations and lots of different reasons to gather that are already kind of built into our year. So should be fun. What should we start with? So talking about traditions, maybe let's do some highlights of some traditions we either hosted or been to over the years.
Yeah. I think some of my favorite traditions, we've had a couple. I think that we've done a lot of my favorites have been when we lived in Missouri, because we had kind of a small church group that we would get together with and we'd do like Memorial Day picnics at our house.
Yeah.
And so that was so fun because everyone knew, you know, it was always the same place, always about the same time. And people just kind of showed up throughout the event. There was always like different things to do. I think we had like a watermelon eating contest at one point that one of my best friends, Katie, always competed in.
Yes.
She was great.
I think she won, didn't she? Like she was really 1 year trying to win that.
I'm pretty sure there was, I think there was one or two.
Did she win like a watermelon?
Yeah. I don't remember what she won, but I know that she did win. Bragging rights, probably.
Yeah. Well, and it was fun because that one started out with, we just offered our bishop at church. We knew we wanted to do something. And so we just said, hey, we've got a big backyard, like we can host it. And then after that first time, then it became, are you hosting the Memorial Day party again? And then for a few years, it was just kind of a known thing, like, okay. Oh, the Wingert's Memorial Day party. And it started out with just like a small church group, and our group was spread out over miles. Like if you drove from where one of the members' houses was to the other, it would probably take over an hour. You know, it was like a really spread out group. And so we wanted a reason and a place to kind of get everyone in a central location. Mm-hmm. But then it kind of turned into some of our neighbors started coming and some other people started coming. And so it started out of this little Memorial Day party evolved into a bigger tradition.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was pretty easy. I mean, it was, we usually set up a slip and slide and we always, like you said, I don't know how the watermelon eating contest got started, but someone started that. That kind of became a tradition.
Yeah.
And we would set up canopies. It was just potluck style. Everyone would bring their own, not their own food, but something to share, you know?
Yep. Yep.
And we'd have games or, you know, well, and usually water
my
stuff.
My favorite part is I loved that people would come and like just, you know, there was stuff to do, but a lot of people would just come and like chat. Like they just, you know, we had chairs set up or they'd bring camp chairs or whatever. And they'd just bring a chair, sit down, and they'd just talk for as long as they wanted to. And then whenever they had to head out, they'd head out. And so some people would stay for like over 5 hours, and some people would come for like 30 minutes, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, Missouri's hot. It gets hot and humid pretty early. And we had an unfinished basement. And so I even remember like some of the kids would start getting hot and then they would go in the basement and just kind of ride scooters or play in this cool area. And it was awesome because it wasn't something I necessarily had to clean up and get ready for a party because it was just a cement floor with, there was some drywall on the walls, like the walls were kind of framed and drywalled in, but it was just this big open space. And so if it got hot, some people would go in, and there was also a bathroom down there, also not finished.
Very scary. Lots of spiders.
We probably did have to clean up that bathroom.
I didn't. I never. I always avoided that. I think.
Well, I know, but other people didn't usually go upstairs into the normal part of the house, I don't think. I mean, some people would in the kitchen and stuff, but
yeah.
Anyway, it was for the most part a pretty easy party because people brought their own food. They just hung out, like really that wording of hung out, it was so comfortable and casual. There was people mm-hmm. from all ages, from newborn babies and young families to like 80 and 90 year old friends that came.
Yeah.
And they would just sit in the shade under a canopy, and it was just really pleasant. Like, pleasant's the word, I feel like.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. And I feel like that's something that's so unique about traditions is mm-hmm. once it becomes a tradition, it's something that people know what to expect.
Yes.
And usually a tradition has a timestamp. Like, it's usually, you know, once every year or once every whatever, and people mm-hmm. know. And it makes it so much more easy for people to just relax. You know, like the first time is maybe a little weird, but after that, it's like, oh yeah, I know this. Like, this is familiar to me. And I mm-hmm. feel like that's such a powerful tool in creating like good conversations, you know, like those conversations that everybody just kind of wants, where you just want to stay and linger and keep talking. I feel like traditions are such a good way to bring that about, you know?
Yeah. And I think the only way you can do that and feel comfortable with it is it has to be so casual that you don't mind if people are there all day. Because usually mm-hmm. not all traditions are like that. There could be a tradition that has a time frame, like 2 hours. But with these kind of things, like on a day like 4th of July or Memorial Day, where people really could be there most of the day, mm-hmm. it needs to be so easy that people can do what they want and feel comfortable doing that. And it kind of reminds me of when we lived in Utah, and I think you were probably like 3 or 4. Probably 3 years old. And we would go to a friend's house that was a lot older than us. And he was so kind because we were in school, like we had no money. And he invited us over, he and his wife, and they had some kids in town for the 4th of July. And we didn't have any family around to do anything with. So we went over there and literally they spread blankets out on the grass. And we went to the parade in the morning and then we came back to their house. And it was just really casual. It was like, you can stay or you can go home and come back as many times as you want. Come and go. We also are going to just be in and out. And so mm-hmm. people would take naps. Like, we would lay on the blanket. The kids, you probably took a nap because you were little while we were there on the blanket. And adults would talk sometimes and the kids would play in the water. And then we wouldn't. Then we would just like kind of close our eyes or, you know, it was just so comfortable. And I remember, I think that was maybe one of the first parties where I felt like family. Like if I was at my mom's house, that's what I do. If I needed to go lay down, I would. Or if I mm-hmm. needed to get something to eat, I would. And, you know, I think probably we even left to run to the store and like, oh, I want some more snacks, pick them up. And it was mm-hmm. so fun. And it was an all day thing. And then we ended up having fireworks that night. And so, I mean, it really was like from the parade in the morning all the way till late at night. And I loved it. It was so fun.
Yeah. 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 I think another one of those traditions that we've talked about before is like our apple party that we mm-hmm. would do. And
yeah.
That one, obviously, like, there's something, at least for me, there's something already magical about fall, you know?
Yeah.
I love fall. And so something about, like, bringing people together, especially when it's kind of cold outside, and, like, you basically just have a potluck for, like, caramel apples. And it's great. And I think the cool thing was we did have people who every year were like, hey, when are you going to have the apple party? You're inviting us, right? Like, we're planning on it. It's like in our calendar, you know? And so it's like,
yeah,
the fact that we did it every year, it was something people looked forward to. And it was another one of those things where it was so casual. Like, kids would just play in the backyard. Sometimes we'd have something set up. Sometimes we wouldn't. And people would just play tag, you know, or like we'd mm-hmm. always have like, bring your own toppings for the caramel apples.
Yeah, we'd usually put out like hay bales or something and have a fire, like a bonfire or mm-hmm. something, somewhere for them to sit and maybe some yeah, there was some kind of country fair style, you know?
Yeah.
It was like, there was tic-tac-toe or, you know, some kind of outdoor games that people could do. But a lot of times, the kids just would like run and make up their own games. But that was actually funny because I remember one year someone came up to me and was like, oh my gosh, are you doing your apple party this year? We can't wait. It's like our favorite thing all year. And I was like, oh my gosh, that was last week. And somehow, like, I didn't necessarily send out formal invitations, you know, it was kind of like, I don't know if we put it on social media or just like told people, you know. And so somehow they had got it and just had didn't put it on their calendar and were like, oh my gosh, I can't believe we missed that. And it really was like, it was something that people look forward to. And I think that's the power in tradition, is that people can have that anticipation where they're looking forward to this thing every year.
And it's kind of like it's yours, you know, like even if you're a guest, it's like, oh, I own part of this too. It's like when you would go to your grandma's house and there's just things that your grandma has in the fridge, or there's just kind of like stuff that you know is always there. Mm-hmm. And it's like, technically, maybe you're not the one that bought the sodas in the fridge or the Snicker bars or whatever it is. Or maybe you're not the one that like puts the flowers on the table, but like the fact that they're always there, you're like, oh, that is mine. Like, my grandma's house, you know, I'm welcome to just walk up and grab one, or, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I think something about being able to expect it helps people feel like they can relax and just take ownership for something, which is really cool.
And maybe their first time coming, it might still be like, oh, what to expect. You're not sure what to expect. But then after you've been and you know it's happening again, you're like, okay, I know how this works. And then you're kind of you're not the rookie anymore. Someone new comes the next year and you feel like, oh, I know how this works. Let me show you. You know, So we just think traditions can be so powerful. One of the things we were talking about was the difference between traditions that are, you know, once a year versus tradition that is more routine, like once a week or once a month, you have this lunch date or you have, you know, something you planned on your calendar that you do more consistently.
Yeah. And maybe even like a ritual.
Right. Yeah.
That you do. Yeah.
Yeah. So what are some rituals? We talked a little bit last time about a couple of them. I talked about the one that I want to start, where people just come over on a certain day every week and they know I'm going to try some new recipe or treat. They just have it, pick their plate and chat. And so today I went to the library and I got a bunch of French cookbooks.
Ooh.
And so I'm super excited. And then there was this one awesome.
Is not the right thing for your beginning traditional.
Maybe.
People might not want to come back.
Oh man. That's what you serve when you're like, I need to cancel this tradition. I'm going to serve snails.
Yeah. Well, you know, we gave it our best shot and no one came back. So not my fault. Yeah.
Snails it is. But there was this one book that I was so excited about, and it wasn't necessarily French, but it was something like food that you can cook to give away. And it had all these super cute different recipes that you could bag up or put in a little cupcake box or, you know, stuff like that. I thought that would be really fun too, to work my way through a cookbook like that. So I am planning on starting that. And I think, kind of like I said last time, I think I'm scrapping the whole cleaning party.
Eating is much better.
Eating's better than cleaning. If you didn't know that, we probably can't be friends. But we allow you to change. You can change your opinion anytime.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah. So yeah. I think, so this is my new, I'm not doing the cleaning mostly because I've been cleaning and like, I just want to get spring cleaning done and be outside. So my new thing is, it's getting close, you know, another month or so and school will be out and people will be more free to hang out. And so as we talk about routines and traditions, I really do want to start this tradition. And I'm trying to figure out if it's going to be a weekly thing, which could be fun, but also could be a bit much because it might be more like every other week.
You should have, maybe if you have some like go-to things that you would like making every week anyway, mm-hmm. then you could do it every week. But if you're always doing new recipes, I feel like that would be a lot, you know?
Well, and it could be where it's like twice a month I'm going to make something, and twice a month you guys bring, whoever's mm-hmm. coming, bring something.
Yeah, just bring a sandwich even.
And also my kids had talked about like they want to do something. And so I thought, well, maybe it's 1 week I have people over, and then the next week my kids mm-hmm. can have friends over.
Yeah.
To yeah. swim or, you know, something special. I mean, they have friends over anyway, but, you know, something that's a little more special.
Yeah.
So I'm still working out those details of what I want this to look like, but I'm super excited. And I think that's the part with gathering, is that if you feel really not excited about something and just stressed about it, then you probably need to tweak one of the details yeah. or scrap mm-hmm. it all together.
Yep, I agree. Yeah, and I think we were also talking about before, when we were just kind of planning this out, there was a couple things that we were trying to figure out, like, you know, with relationships and with like the events we've been doing and like how this kind of all ties in together. And I thought there was actually a really kind of beautiful resemblance between traditions and these kinds of gatherings where it's casual and people know what to expect and they come and go and they're like, come as you are, you know, kind of event. And then something that like there's people who I feel like have mastered that way of living just in their like day to day life, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's something that I strive to be like, but it's really hard to strike the balance sometimes, like of just letting people come and go in your life and not, you know, trying to pin things down and make sure things are perfect and make sure everything's ironed out and everything is working and you yeah. know, all your relationships are like great and green flags and everything's working perfectly. I think there is something to be said about letting people like show up for who they are and then trusting them when they show you like who they are. I don't know. It's just kind of an interesting thought that I've been processing of like, how do you bridge that gap and how do these like gatherings help us become better people and what can we take from them?
Well, I mean, you could totally, you can't because you don't have kids yet. But I can totally blame my kids. You know, if I'm going somewhere and I know as an introvert, I'm going to need a break, I could be like, you know, I want to take my kids home partway through the day, give them a break, and then we'll be yeah. back, you know, let them yeah. rest for an hour or so, and then we'll be back.
Yeah.
So, you know, adopt a kid that you could.
Yeah. I have lots of friends that have dogs that do that. It's,
oh,
it's
yeah.
a great excuse.
There you go.
You know, like,
we need to take the dog home.
You know what? Yeah.
But I think if yeah. you just make your intentions clear from the beginning, if you're the host and you're inviting someone, then you just say, hey, I know probably people are going to need some breaks throughout the day, so we're anticipating people are going to leave at some point and come back. You just plan yeah. that however you want. You know, so you're kind of giving them permission ahead mm-hmm. of time, or you tell them what is available to them. Like, okay, my kitchen's open. If you need to go chop anything,
yeah.
here's the bathroom. Like, you just tell them right up front, here's the things yeah. you can use. And this is where I feel comfortable with people going. And yeah. then they're not like, hey, do you mind if I use this? Mm-hmm. Or it's like, no, I've already set up front. Here's all the things. Please don't go upstairs to the kids' bedrooms.
Yeah.
The first floor is open.
Well, and it's so, it's kind of like one of those things where, I don't know if you've heard of like co-working spaces. I don't know if mm-hmm. you've talked about that.
Yeah.
But that's becoming pretty popular in like big cities. And people pay a lot of money to like go have a monthly subscription to like go to these co-working spaces because so many people work from home. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of people that just want to get out, you know, but they don't necessarily yeah. want to like go to a party or like hardcore socialize, you know, they just like want more scenery that they can go work at. But it's not like private offices either. These are like open tables that everyone's sitting at, kind of just doing their own thing, but you're in the same space as each other. That's cool to me. Like that idea of, you know, obviously you're going to be socializing a little bit more, hopefully, if you're having people come over for a fun treat once a week or things like that. But
Yeah.
Having something where you can really just be like, hey, so, you know, I'm going to go to the gas station and grab some candy. If you guys want to come, you can, you know, if you want to stay here, great. Like those kind of events, those are cool. I think mm-hmm. that would be fun to kind of include those more in my life. Cause I think, I don't know, I'm a pretty type B person. I think.
I don't think I ever have heard that term before. Like you always hear people say type A, but like I'm clearly a level below.
Yeah. Whoa. You're type A. That's what this is.
I am not type A. That's funny.
No, yeah, but so it's like, you know, type A, just for those who have never heard type B before, type A is like, I'm going to butcher this description.
That's why you're a type B. It's not precise.
Because I'm not going to look it up and it's fine. People are just going to have to deal with the butcher description. So yeah, that's a good example. A type A person would probably look up the description because they'd want to make sure that it's accurate and perfect. And I don't care. So that's type A and type B for you. But even as a type B person, I still have moments where I want to like be in control of things, you know, yeah. Especially when it's like my own anxiety about, you know, making people feel comfortable or people pleasing or whatever. And so I think this kind of activity would be a really good practice to just like be comfortable being myself in front of people and have yeah. people comfortable being themselves in front of me. You know,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think summer lends itself to that. Summer mm-hmm. is just a little more casual or can be.
Yeah. 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 I'm trying to figure out how to include that into my, because obviously I'm still going to do the forest bathing thing. And my intention was for it to be more of like this, like meditation in the woods, you know, with mm-hmm. a couple people. And the more I'm kind of getting these ideas and thinking about this kind of come and go activity, the more I want it to be more like that. Like I want it to be something where, hey, like I'm going to go do this in the woods and, you know, I'll probably bring a lunch or something. And so if anyone else wants to come and bring a lunch, or if you want to come for an hour, or if you want to come for 2 hours, you know, like doing that somewhere that isn't my house, I yeah. think would be kind of unique experience. So I might.
Yeah, that could be really fun, especially because something like that, people could get nervous about being stuck in the forest. Like, what if I don't want to meditate for 2 hours,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
And so if it's more open-ended, then I think more mm-hmm. people are willing to try something when they know they can leave at any time and it's expected.
Yeah. You know, that's actually how I feel with not all relationships, but I feel like with a lot of relationships, when you feel a lot of pressure going into it, like there's, you have to do this, 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 this in order to blank, then it's like, oh, I don't.
Like, I'm out.
I don't know. I don't even know what I'm getting into. Whereas yeah. like somebody that's like, hey, like this is the way I live. This is the kind of, you know, like relationship, and this is how I act, and this is how I am. If you're like on board with that, come along. And if you're not, then naturally like we probably won't be super yeah. close. That's okay mm-hmm. too, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of interesting.
Friendship is so interesting, and it really just depends on your expectations. What are you expecting out of this event or this relationship?
Mm-hmm. And we should have I know there's a lot of people that are good about talking about relationships and friendships, but I think that would be cool once we've got a hang on, you know, our traditions and kind of that of what we're going for and having people come and go in an event. I think it would be cool to have you know, some guest where they can teach us a little bit more about how to apply that in our lives. And we can kind of see the difference between like, oh, we've been doing this, but in our events, like mm-hmm. how do we do this in our inner lives?
Yeah. Just on an everyday basis. Mm-hmm. I was reading this book. I think I might've mentioned it last week, called Storyworthy, just about telling stories in conversation and things with mm-hmm. people or at dinner. And I'm doing this research paper, and it's about dinner across cultures. So family mm-hmm. dinner across cultures. So I've been studying in China, you know, some of the, what their dinners are like. I was studying Israel and then the US and kind of comparing. And I think dinners kind of apply to a lot of situations, because it could be just your family. It could be you having people over. But one of the things that they were talking about was, in certain cultures, for example, in Israel, their dinner conversation is usually based in the past. It's like some story about a past experience or a past story, whereas Americans, ours are usually based in today. How was your day? What did you do today? Huh. How was work today? And I wondered, you know, I think there's a lot of reasons behind that. It could be ancient cultures versus, you know, the United States is a fairly new yeah. culture compared to China or Israel or, you yeah. know. But I was thinking about that, and just when you are with other people, maybe switching it up and focusing on a different time period. So if you have these traditions that you do every year, maybe some of the conversations you're talking about aren't what's going on right now. Maybe you're talking more about, what did your family have any traditions when you were growing up that they did on Memorial Day or 4th of July, or just something that has to do with an ancestor or community or something in the past, especially if you have some older friends with you, they really enjoy reliving those moments. And yeah. so I was kind of thinking how important that is to maybe switch up what time frame you're talking about with when you have these events or traditions.
And I really like that.
And it was so funny to be like, yes, we totally do. Like, how was work today? How was school today?
Yeah.
They were saying when families get together around the dinner table, most American parents ask their kids what they did at school that day.
Yeah.
And I was like, that seems so superficial. Like, yes, I want to yeah. know that, but I don't want dinner to be, what'd you do today? You know?
Yeah. Like, where did I go? I think that's so funny. Cause if I think back to like when I was a kid, and I remember like people just asking me, you know, like, what'd you do at school today? Or how was blank today? I remember shutting down and being like, why am I shutting down? Like, as a kid, I remember being like, why am I shutting down about this? Like, why do I not want to answer this question? And maybe that's it. Maybe it's more of like, I answered that question yesterday.
Yeah. This is so boring. Yeah. Or, you know, sometimes we get upset when you ask kids, like, what'd you do? And they're like, nothing, or it's fine.
Yeah.
And you're expecting some big, deep, like, tell me, when really it was the exact same as it was the day before.
The question wasn't that good of a question to begin with, though.
Yeah, no. And so anyway, this research just kind of made me think about different cultures and maybe adopting some practices from other cultures that are used to tradition. Mm-hmm. You know, in Israel, they are used to tradition. It's just thick in their society. In China, they were talking about the Chinese New Year and how people come from wherever they are and travel back to their home, if they can, to be there for Chinese New Year, and how there's ancestors, generations, all at the same location. And they're usually talking about something in the past. Then they also talk about the future. Like, what is our next year going to be like? And that seems like such a better conversation than, what'd you do today? You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Just like past and future thinking.
Well, and I think it's so cool too, because when you think about conversations where you really have been like, oh, I just don't want to leave. Like it's, you know, 11 p.m. mm-hmm. at night and there's like, we're like getting to the height of this conversation. I feel like the people that I've had that with, a lot of times it's people who are asking those questions or with people that are older, you know, mm-hmm. like I've had a lot of friends that we would like go visit in Missouri or that were a little older that I just felt like, oh, like they are reflecting on their lives and thinking about, you know, things from the past. And it's actually really intriguing because it brings up all these questions of like, you know, is that like, how did your past affect you to become the person you are now instead of like the small, short period of time, which is like 24 hours, you know?
Yeah.
There's well, so much more to learn.
Right. It kind of goes back to that saying of never be the smartest person in the room. So when mm-hmm. you enter a room, you always want to be taught. Not that you don't mm-hmm. ever share, like you definitely share, but yeah. there's something about asking questions and asking someone, hey, you're really good at this. Tell me about your experience with this particular thing mm-hmm. and just learning from the different people in the room.
Yeah.
And I mean, also definitely contributing. You want to contribute, but you sometimes you go into scenarios when you're nervous and you just monopolize the conversation.
Right.
And sometimes just because you're nervous, but I think usually when you have a good conversation, there's a lot of back and forth. And so you're asking mm-hmm. good questions and you're sharing things about your hopes or goals for the future, about things in the yeah. past. And that makes a really good tradition.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just thinking now about like all these people that do that really well in my life. And like, there is different ways of doing it. Some people are really, you know, thoughtful about like crafting questions and finding good questions to ask. And that's really cool. Some people I think are just naturally prone to curiosity. You know, mm-hmm. they just genuinely care and are just interested. Yeah. And, I feel like a lot of my, I don't know, I feel like a lot of my family, but especially my aunts, I feel like have that where they're just, I've never had where I sit down to talk to one of them and they get nervous and they start like talking about something random just to fill the space. Like I've mm-hmm. never really had that experience with them. It's always, oh my gosh, right. how are you? Tell me about blank about your life or tell me about, you know, and it's always like, oh, like these are good questions. Like these people are actually invested in hearing about me. And then I can ask them the same thing. And it's a real conversation, you know?
And there's always follow-up questions. It's never mm-hmm. like, tell me about this. Okay. Anyway, so what about, you know,
yeah,
there's
yeah.
always like, okay, you gave me this answer. Let's go deeper. Tell me more about that, you know? Mm-hmm. And that does make you feel like you're heard. Oh, they actually listened to what I was saying
yeah.
and want to know more.
Yeah.
And yeah, those are all good things you have to practice. You just have to pick one, you know,
yeah.
choose one and practice it and maybe think of your traditions and even things that maybe you didn't even think was a tradition. But if you mm-hmm. look back, you've done it every year for 3 years.
Yeah.
You know,
make it special.
Yeah. Make it special. Is that something you want to continue again or is it not? And if it is, why did you keep doing it each year? What was it that you enjoyed that you kept yeah. planning it? And how do you maybe make it a little more special?
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. I think using that to move forward into the next like phase of the year, you know, when things are getting warmer, it'll be a lot easier to just feel like you're really connecting with people and like grounding in those connections and having some sort of tradition in place where people can come and go and having, you know, conversations that are more overarching instead of just the how are you today conversations, I think.
Yeah. And if really you've made it tips. To the point where you've taken a nap at someone's house, you've arrived.
Yes.
That's
ultimate. The goal.
You feel comfortable if you've been able to take a nap at someone's house.
That's the challenge this week. Either get it to where people can take naps at your house or go take a nap at somebody else's.
Invest in some more outdoor blankets that people can sleep.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the shade in your yard. Yeah.
I love it.
Oh, right. This is going to be fun. We hope you guys go out and have planned some traditions.
Yep.
And we will catch you in a couple weeks.
All right. See you later.
See ya.